It's my privilege to welcome to our pulpit this morning Reverend Danny Olinger. Danny and I were in seminary at the same time, overlapped in Westminster, California, in San Diego back in the 1980s. And he is now the General Secretary of Christian Education for our denomination. So he oversees the publication of our monthly journal, New Horizons, and also all our continuing education and interns and preparation for ministry seminars for students in seminary or those just thinking about going to seminary. I've known Danny for over 30 years. We're very, very thankful to have Danny here. I heard he was going to be in town, and we welcome him to our pulpit this morning to bring us the Word of God.
Thank you, Eric, for that warm introduction. Our text this morning is Psalm 37. Our focus is going to be on the first four verses, but we will read the psalm in its entirety. This is God's holy and inspired word. Please give it your full attention. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draws the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Then I sought him and he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there's a future for the man of peace. The transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we're so thankful that you have given us this day to set aside our worldly recreations and employments and to gather together as your people in your presence. And how thankful we are for our Savior, that one who has not only died an atoning death, but has risen upon high where he ever lives, interceding for us, and is even leading our worship right now. How we do rejoice to be in the presence of the risen Christ. We do pray now, O Lord, that that word of Christ and his Spirit might have its work in our hearts, that we might be built up in the faith, and that we might behold him as the only one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And this we do pray in his precious name. Amen. In the summer of 1969, Woodstock took place in Upper New York. With gas at 15 cents a gallon, the prospect of seeing such musical acts as Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix, some 500,000 young people came and stayed for 3 days. It was one big party in the mud and rain, but what it became in the aftermath was a symbolic event for a generation that had become fed up with society. There was a youth revolution. The youth believed that they were being coerced to conform to rules or regulations they had no trust in. The state had instituted a military draft and then sent the best and the brightest off to a war that they didn't support. The youth believed that their parents argued about the length of their hair, taking responsibility and getting a good job. In the church was so often busy telling them that rock and roll was the devil's music. For 3 days and nights then at Woodstock, here was another world that many were dreaming about. You could do as you please. You didn't need to pay for admission. You didn't even need to pay for food. Everything that was a downer in society, the Vietnam War, the riots, the assassinations, all those, you didn't have to dwell upon them. This was an upper. This was what we wanted to be. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll for all. And there are those individuals now in their late 60s and 70s to this day who consider those 3 days to be the high point of their life. And yet, for all the talk of the return to the garden, what had happened in the main was this. Many had decided to surrender to the moment in attempting to escape reality. Now, that was 50 years ago. And what took place there, isolated in Upper New York, now seems to be everywhere. Everywhere you look, people are giving into the moment and refusing to accept reality. Even the authority structures that the youth at Woodstock were rebelling against, they now seem to have adopted that philosophy. The family structure is totally under assault, not only from children being born out of wedlock to the absolute promotion of same-sex marriage. The government since that time has legalized abortion, and even provided funding for it. And the broader church seemingly has turned itself into community centers specializing in whatever the pet social cause is, in promoting the doctrine of peace at any cost. Now, I realize that I have painted things in broad strokes, and there were good things that came from Woodstock. My first Orthodox Presbyterian pastor was an individual, an 18-year-old, who was on his way to Woodstock, and he was hitchhiking, and someone shared the gospel with him, and his life was changed, Larry Wilson. But to a certain extent, Abby Hoffman, as he said so many years ago, to a certain extent, we are living in Woodstock Nation. And the question is, how are we who are Christians, how are we to live in a world that pines for the moment and refuses to accept responsibility? You know, there's no denying as we look around, people are living and acting as if there was no God. They do not want to be bound by any authority, much less this authority, the authority of the Word of God. But we believe otherwise. We believe there is a God, not just any God, the living and true God, the creator of heaven and earth. And that this God, the living and true God, the creator of heaven and earth, has revealed himself in his word. He is sovereign. And he has revealed himself to us. And he has sent his son into this world to die for our sins and to be raised for our justification. In what we believe, our hearts having been changed by his word and spirit, affects the way that we live. You see, we live for the Lord. We seek to glorify and enjoy him forever. We are bound by his word. And so the contrast couldn't be any greater. How do we live then the life of faith among those who not only refuse to bow down to the Lord God, but also flaunt their independence from him? But even more so, how do we live the life of faith, friends, without anger and frustration? Because isn't that our natural tendency? When we see what's going on all around us, we see how the word of God is being trampled upon, how society is seemingly so reckless and godless, do we not become angry and mad and frustrated? How do we live the life of faith without anger when it appears to the eye that those who live for themselves in this life are getting what they want? Well, Psalm 37 is a great help to us in this regard. For Psalm 37 presents to us how to live the life of faith in a fallen world without anger and frustration. And this psalm opens with that memorable line, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers, be not envious of wrongdoers." And that's such a memorable opening line. And to fret here in the Hebrew word here, literally means to burn up, to heat up. So David, under the inspiration of Scripture, from the opening line of this psalm, he's telling you, look, don't get so burned up, heated up in anger about the wicked in this life. Don't get so heated up about those who resist the will of the Lord. You know, and that's really the definition here of the wicked, the evildoers. They are those who withdraw from the rule of God and resist his will. And David is telling us, don't fret about them. But again, what do we do? What do we always do? We boil. We rage. We can't let go because we're so upset. And from there, things only get worse. Because that fretting translates then into envying. That's really what David's telling you here. If you make fretting your way of life, then you'll end up envying. And he's also really saying to you, that's imitating the wicked's way of life. Well, now, how do we know this? Well, you can't see it. Well, you can see it a little bit in the English. But in the Hebrew, Psalm 37 is an acrostic. It's a poem. And because it's an acrostic poem where the first stanza begins with the opening Hebrew letter, Aleph, and you go on from there throughout the Hebrew alphabet, there is a parallelism to this poem. So that each stanza then contains a self-contained thought. So in verse 1, fret not yourselves because of evildoers, is explained further by the second colon, be not envious of wrongdoers. In other words, here are not just simply two separate imperatives that David has put together. There's a relationship between the two. So if fretting is getting heated up, then envying is desiring what someone else has. And in this parallelism, David's telling us there's a fretting that arises out of envy that we must flee. So it's not just getting burned up about what the wicked do in this life. It's also not coveting what they have. Have you ever thought about that? We get mad at the wicked for their disregard of the Lord and his ways on the one hand, and then on the other hand right away, we wish we had what they have. Fretting and envying go hand in hand. Fret about the wicked, and before you know it, you'll desire what the wicked has. In fact, you'll end up thinking and acting like the wicked. But according to David, nothing could be more short-sighted. Nothing could be more empty. And so he says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. In other words, those who live without fear of God in this life, who are not bound by Him, His Word, do not look to Him, they have nothing that we should envy. Any earthly prosperity they enjoy will not last. And it's not just their possessions that will fade away. They will fade away. And what will happen is that when God's judgment comes upon them even, there is no place that they can hide. And there's simply no security to be found in the things of this life which they have loved. And so David's telling us, the Word of God is telling us here, the wicked have no future. They have no future. Their prosperity is an extension of themselves, utterly fleeting. So that they who disregard God's rule in their life, who do not fear Him, do not love Him, who make this life and the things of this life the be-all and the end-all, will lose everything. Will absolutely lose everything. Not some things, everything. Everything will dry up. Everything will die. You see, David's telling you, why would you envy that? And why would you get heated up over that? They have chosen that which is passing away. And you know what happens because they have chosen that which is passing away? They're always fretting. And they're always envying. They're always getting heated up about what they believe are the injustices of this life. When you don't live by the rule of God, you make your own rules. And you're always getting heated up when others transgress what you think is right and wrong. And then in their fretting, they envy. Because they're worried that they don't have that which is their very lifeblood, or they don't have enough of it, or they might lose it. So again, why would we want to be like that? It's not only the worst thing for us, but it shows no trust in the living God. Fretting and envying are signs that we've forgotten that the living God is in control of all things. And sometimes you might say, well, if I don't fret, if I don't, you know, I'm not concerned about these things, won't I go without these things? Well, David knows that's going to be your thought. And so that's why he says in verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. You see, the living God, the sovereign God, the Redeemer God, he's our God and he cares for us. You know, he knows, friends, exactly what he is doing. And so rather than thinking, how can they get away with this? Or how can God let them get away with this? We should trust and delight in the Lord. As David says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so here is the biblical wisdom. Trusting in the Lord is the antidote to fretting about the wicked. Delighting in the Lord is the antidote to envying the wicked. You see, it's two different ways of life then. The wicked look to themselves. They want to set their own rules, create their own destiny. We who believe, we look to the Lord. The wicked trust in themselves and their own plans. We look to the Lord and we trust in his word. The wicked delight in this world. We delight in the Lord. One is self-centered and world-centered. The other is God-centered. We are those who make the Lord the object of our affection. He is our heart's desire. And at our very best, his word and spirit working in our hearts, at our very best, our heart's desire is to do his will. And I say to you, isn't that not the best moments of your life? When you're loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself, aren't those not the best moments of your life? And what great joy you see when you see others, whether that be your sons or your daughters or your friends, giving themselves to the Lord, exhausting themselves for others, building others up that they might be built up in the faith. Isn't that not bringing you the greatest joy? In the King James, verse 3 is so beautiful. In the King James, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The image there is of a flock in a pasture, and the flock belongs to the shepherd. And they dwell in his land, and he follow after him, and he feeds them. Well, that's the life of faith. That's the promise of God. That shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his flock. We once were lost, but now we are found, and we enjoy the blessings of God because he cares for us. He nurses us. He leads us. And what do? In response, we who know his goodness, we trust in him. We seek to do his will. You know, this is the life of faith. you know, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are those who have been blessed. We are those who truly are being built up in the image of our Savior. And that's why when we are afflicted in this world, we are not crushed. We have Christ. And that's when we're perplexed, we do not despair because we have Christ. And that's because when we're persecuted, we're not forsaken. We do not give up, for we know that we have Christ. Even living then among those who despise the Lord, we are not undone because we have Christ. As your pastor has read this morning from Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount, we are those who know what this life is about. This life is about the Lord. This life is about first seeking the Lord and His righteousness. First the Lord, and then what He wills to give us. So that what you see in Psalm 37 is the same as what you see in Matthew 6:33. In Psalm 37, it is, "Trust the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." This is how it reads in Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you." And so this is why this psalm is so beloved in the history of the church. It's a great psalm in which we turn to in times of trouble. It is so wise. It is so encouraging. But it's also so humbling. Because can you think of a day that goes by in which we don't fret? If we don't get heated up about something. Often something very selfish, or when we don't end up envying, wishing we had something that we don't, and every hour of every day we don't trust in the Lord as we should, and we don't delight in Him. The truth is that so often we make the objects of this world our heart's desire. And if we're true and honest, we realize that we're no better than the wicked here in Psalm 37 that reject God and His word. In this case, we're sinners, and we would not have loved the Lord unless He first loved us. But yet the good news is that the Lord has sought us out even in our selfishness, even when we were foolish. And He has laid down His life for us. And Jesus is that one who has done this. And Jesus, thankfully, is not only our Savior, but He is the wisdom of God for us. For what does Jesus do in His life? He doesn't fret over evildoers. And He does not envy what they have. And He delights in the Lord. And He seeks to do good. And He seeks to do the will of His Father in heaven. You see, Jesus will not imitate the wicked to gain the world. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is elsewhere. And so He is the Son who made His Father's glory His chief delight. And yet He is also the Good Shepherd who has laid down His life for you, the sheep. For our sake, Jesus gave Himself over to the wicked to be crucified. But that which was meant for His destruction has brought about hope and life. Hope and life, even for we who are wicked, we who are sinners. You see, our sin deserves God's everlasting wrath and curse. But through the love of God in Christ, we have been given life. And that's good news. Your pastor's right. There's no peace apart from Jesus. There's no reconciliation apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus, all you will ever end up doing is fretting and envying. Hey, your team can win the big game. But you know what? As soon as that whistle blows, that game's over. You're fretting and envying about the next game coming along. You can have the job. You can have the promotion. You can have the money. You know what? None of those things bring peace and joy, because they're all of this world. And the things of this world are passing away. There's no security in them. But Jesus, He is that one who is secure. And belonging to Him, it makes all the difference in the world. You see, we are those who say, who believe that Jesus is the one person, the one thing that we can not do without in this life. And that's the rub with the world. You see, the world, when it sinks its heart into the treasures of this life, it makes Jesus expendable. Why? Because you don't need Jesus to achieve that goal. But when you realize your sin before the living God, and that there's no hope of eternal life apart from Jesus' shed blood and righteousness, then what becomes expendable is not Jesus, but the trappings of this world. And that's why, friends, my encouragement to you from the Word of God is to not be afraid to die to the world and to live to Christ. Because in Christ, you have been given every good thing. Don't fret. Don't envy. You have something better, something infinitely better. You have Jesus in its gift. And you have His Spirit. Delight yourself then in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And is not the greatest desire to commune with Him, to behold Him as friend beholds friend, to commune with Him even now as you look forward to that communion that will take place in heaven. And here's such wonderful news. There is no fretting in heaven. And there is no envying in heaven. Because in heaven, we are delighting in the Lord every single second, knowing Him and His righteousness, dwelling in Him in an environment of perfect holiness. So that's what you've been given in miniature, even now, even as you look forward to that great day. So be bound by His word, look to Him, and know truly that you have been blessed. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we do thank You again for Your word, but we thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, so many things capture our attention in this life, and so many things lead us astray. But, oh Lord, we are so thankful for Your word and Your spirit, and we're so thankful, oh Lord, that You have worked in our hearts that we might behold You, and that we might behold, oh Lord, that there is an end of these days upon this creation, and that we must stand before You on the last day. May we, O Lord, know that our only hope is to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For all our righteousness is but filthy rags. May we look to our Savior. May we love Him with all of our heart. And may we truly, O Lord, give Him our lives. We do thank You for Christ the King Church. Thank You so much for Eric and his ministry. We do pray, Lord, that you continue to be with him as he brings your word, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, power from above. Give him wisdom, protect his family, continue to give him zeal for the lost, and not only him, but also our whole congregation here. May we be those who seek after your glory, O Lord, and may we share the good news with others. For we know, O Lord, that you have worked in the hardest heart, for you have worked in our hearts, and you have brought us to our knees through the cross of Christ. This we do pray in his precious name. Amen.